Well, good morning. How are we doing today? Well, I got three of you awake. I'm going to invite your attention to the book of James, chapter 5. Book of James, chapter 5. I want to share some thoughts with you. Actually, I want to ask a question. How's your spiritual growth? That's the question I want to ask you. How's your spiritual growth? Sometimes we think that we can't grow anymore. I can remember basically thinking that a long time ago. I thought by the time I got to be about age 40 that I would basically know it all and know everything that I need to know about the Bible. And at that time, I was teaching preachers in the Bible college, and I thought I basically, somewhere around age 40, I think I should have arrived. I should have learned it all. Well, I'm past age 40, and I'm still learning. It's just God has a way of just increasing our fellowship, our knowledge around Him, if we're willing to stay in the book. The question that we have to ask ourselves, are we willing to stay in the Bible? I do not know how many times I've read the Bible completely through, or how many times I've read the New Testament completely through. I'm a numbers guy, but some numbers I don't want to know because it gives me a big head, be honest with you. But how's your spiritual growth? I'm going to start reading in verse number 7. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. And no, I'm not either, okay, because you have the, I didn't bring that Bible with me. I'm going to quote out of it, but I was going to read out of the New King James. You guys maybe won't be able to, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway, okay? I'm reading out of the New King James, but I'm going to be quoting verses out of the ESV, which is the Bible that you have in the pew. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured, who you heard of the perseverance of Job, and see the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So how is our spiritual growth? If you read the first section of chapter 5, you'll find that God is not always going to correct the wrongs that in our lives. You're going to suffer some things either deservedly or undeservedly. And God just has a way of letting some things happen. But all things work together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Therefore, whenever something bad happens to us, we need to ask ourselves, what is God trying to teach me here? What do I need to learn? Now, if you're like me, sometimes it's best to learn through experiences rather than someone telling us something. I don't know about you, but my parents claimed I was hard-headed. I claimed that I learned it from them. I say my mom was hard-headed. I say my dad was extra hard-headed. And I would say that to them now. I wouldn't say it to them then, but they were stubborn in their own ways. But the truth of the matter of it is that we're all stubborn in our own way. There are certain things that are just unapproachable. We don't like to change. I don't know about you, but I don't like to change. I have said that all my life, but I've learned over the years that God wants me to keep changing. And so we all need to be willing to change. So if I'm going to grow spiritually, I've got to change to be more God-like. If I'm going to grow spiritually, I got to be willing to change to be more God-like. And that's a slow process for me. I don't know about you, but to constantly change and improve my life and change my thinking, to be open to the leadership of the Lord and how He does things. That realization that God is not going to correct everything is is a sobering thought. But all of us are going to give an account of our being before the Lord. For the Christians, it's called the Bema Seat or the Judgment Seat of Christ. For those who do not know Christ, it's called the White Throne of Judgment. But everybody's going to give an accounting of their lives and what we have done for the Lord or what we have not done for the Lord. And God's going to reward us greatly. But the Bible here gives three examples. Talks about the farmer, talks about the prophet, and then it talks about Job. And I want to belabor the farmer a bit, probably more than the other two. But the farmer is, to me, is a prime example of patience, hard work and patience. A farmer has to plow. I can remember growing up in the country and watching people plow. Back then, they would turn the soil over, and then they would go through and disc it up real good before they did the planting. I don't think they turn the soil over anymore. They just disc it up and keep on going, and just substitute, I guess, turning it over with fertilizer and things like that. But you had to plow, and then you had to plant. And then after the planting, you had to wait. And waiting for the seeds to come up, waiting for the right amount of sunshine, the right amount of rain. And while you're waiting, you're making sure you have the harvest equipment ready to go and other things on the farm. Farmers are hard workers. They get up early in the morning and work well past sunset. They're hard-working people. They're, in a sense that they have a big farm, they're lonely people in the sense that they're isolated. But after their waiting comes the reaping or the harvesting. And the harvest is based upon the right type of seeds that was planted today, the right type of fertilizer, the right amount of water that they have before the plants give the increase. If you go up, I think it's 301, go up 95, then take that right somewhere and go across the Potomac River over into the southern part of Maryland, you'll see fields with these great big, I don't know what you call them, sprinklers. They're like 200 yards long or something like that. They're just up there, wheels and rotate. But I guess they're pumping water out of the river there. But they keep those fields of green where some other that do not have that artificial watering system is not as fruitful as they are. But a farmer along the way is going to need some encouragement. As you and I plant our spiritual seeds, we're going to need encouragement. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." I like that because it encourages me to keep on doing. And keep encourages me that there's going to be a time of reaping, but it's going to be in due season. But one of the warnings there is if we don't give up. So many Christians give up along life. Things get tough. They say, "Well, God's not answering my prayer because I didn't get this or this didn't happen, and I got sick," or something like that. No, God promised He'd never leave us nor forsake us. He didn't promise that He would give us everything that we wanted. The bottom line of it is, I'm glad He hasn't given me everything that I've asked for. I don't know about you, but I've asked for some things, and later on I realized if I had that, I would be in trouble. I'm glad God knows what He's doing. Bottom line, I'm glad He knows what He's doing. For the Christians, you're a spiritual farmer. If you're going to be involved in the harvest, you're going to have to establish relationships with people. You're going to have to build a rapport with them somehow, or friendship along the way that is necessary for them to respect what you're going to say. You got to be to build that rapport with them, to be able that they will trust what you're saying. They will believe what you're saying. And then after you build some confidence with them and a rapport with them, then you can begin to plant spiritual seeds. And some people you can plant a whole lot, and some people you just have to make one seed at a time, just drop it just one at a time. I remember back in the day when we used to plant corn, I don't know why we always put three corn kernels together. Put three of them, I don't know why, I guess because two of them wouldn't take or something, I don't know. Then later on, after they sprung up or got up about that tall, if there was two or three together, we'd go through and pull up the extras. I can remember those things back in the day. But as spiritual farmers, we're going to have to wait for the seeds to germinate and do some praying. We're good at waiting, but we're not good at praying. Praying that God will germinate those seeds and cause people to think about their spirituality or eternity and what God would have for them. But if we will wait and pray and not get ahead of God, God will give the increase. God just has that ability to give the increase in due time when He knows the right time. Sometimes we get ahead of God and we like to push things along. I've been guilty of that. Every Christian has been guilty of pushing people faster than they want to go. And sometimes we turn them off spiritually because of our aggression. But the secret of productivity is knowing the leadership of God and letting God work through you when He wants, when He puts everything together, when their hearts are ready, and when He puts you together and gives you the words to say. Not only are we to be an encouragement, but secondly, we are to establish our hearts. There's a lot in witnessing. One of the great things that we have to do is establish our own hearts. What do you mean by that? You need to feed your spiritual heart. You need to take time to refresh your heart. You need to spend time in the Word of God, bottom line. Find a time when you can get alone with God and read. If you're not a good reader, and get some tapes and listen. We live in a day when there is no excuse for not learning the Word of God. I know you're busy, and I also understand that God will help you to have the wisdom to make time for Him. I know it. For 12 years, I worked for the state, and I used to have to drive somewhere in the neighborhood of an hour one way to work. Well, I dedicated that hour to spend in prayer. That was my prayer time. Going down 288 in the morning at 75 miles an hour praying, and down country roads. I didn't pray with my eyes closed there, okay? I spent a lot of time in prayer behind the wheel. That was my time, because I got up early, drove, worked, come back, had things to do at home, and then at my lunchtime I spent it in the Word of God a lot of times. But I learned how to adjust my schedule to make time for God. You need to read the Word of God. I get one of the great things that happened to me was 17 years ago, that when they woke me up from heart surgery, they set my biological clock to wake up in the middle of the night. Well, that's when I read. I read 6 pages a night. It's very few times. I probably count on one hand or two hands the times I haven't read the Word of God every day. But I've learned how to make that time precious. Before, I used to get up and get mad at myself because I couldn't go back to sleep. That makes you stay up longer. But I just learned how to read. And now my wife's been pestering me for a while to... I'm going to get this sleep machine to see if I can adjust my sleep. Now I'm going to have to readjust my prayer time. and my Bible time. But the thing of it is, you find time for the Word of God. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord and be strong and let your heart take courage and wait for the Lord. I don't know about you, but I like things done now. Anybody else like that? I like things done now. But waiting on the Lord, I've learned how to wait on the Lord a whole lot better. Lamentations, that little Old Testament book, is chapter 3, and verse 25 says, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, and to the soul who seeks him." We're going to have to wait and seek him. And just wait some more sometimes. God doesn't answer all my prayers just like that. Sometimes he does. I mean, he did it with Peter when Peter was sinking. But sometimes we have to wait a while. Sometimes it takes time to work things out, because God works through people, and God has to. If I'm praying for this particular person and I can't get to them, God has to work over here with this person to be able to come to over here to the person I'm praying for, to be able to do what God wants done. So we looked at the farmer. Now let's look at the prophets for a little bit and see some things. I've skipped over a couple things here, and I know I'm driving my brother mad back there in the back, but let God work in your heart. Let's look at that. Let's look at the prophets. If you look at the prophets and their character, none of us are prophets, but they can teach us a lot by their character and what they did and what they didn't do. But many Old Testament prophets suffered, especially from Old Testament kings. Just because they were a prophet of God and God had his hand upon them didn't mean they were free of suffering. I think of Jeremiah being thrown down in a pit where he was up to his, I don't know, chest or something like that in mud. I don't know about you, but I can't imagine that, because I'm thinking that in the bottom of a pit that's 10 feet down, something like that, up to here in mud, it's not 70 degrees. It's going to be, the typical earth temperature is about 55 or something like that. And I'd get chilled by that. I'd be water soaked by the mud. And when they went to pull him up, they had to give him rags to put underneath his arms to pull him up, because have you ever had your legs stuck in mud? It's like it's hard to pull your legs out. I can't imagine pulling the whole body out. The suction of it, just they had to protect his arms. They had to put those rags underneath them to pull him up, because of the suction process. I don't know. I can't remember how long he was in there, but he was telling the nation of Israel to repent and come back to God, and they didn't like it, and so they punished him. So they threw him down there. Just because he was God's man didn't mean everything went great for him. He took some serious punishment or some serious adverse circumstances. Just because everything doesn't go our way doesn't mean that we're being punished by God. It just means that God has something for us to do that maybe we just need to take a little bit longer to learn. Or maybe it's to prepare somebody else's heart for the message that God's going to give us once we get out of that situation. Adverse things do happen to good people. Just because bad things happen to good people doesn't mean that God is punishing them. It just means bad things just happen along the way. Yes, God protects us. Yes, God has kept me out of a lot of trouble. But I've learned that not everything works. Not everything is always good all the time for the Christian. At least for me, it is. In what I've read in the Old Testament. But all of these prophets were doing the will of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But for you, continue in what you have learned. Continue in what you have learned from the Word of God. Apply it to your life. Let it be what God wants you to be. Trust Him. If He says do it, then do it. But you may think, well, if I do this, I'll have suffer some adverse consequences. Still do it. God said He would never leave you nor forsake you. He didn't say everything would be great, but it's in the big picture of things, being obedient to God is more important than the temporary adverse circumstances of life. Let God work in you. Obedience to God isn't a guarantee of a life of ease. It's just not there. I've talked about Jeremiah a little bit. Daniel suffered for praying. I mean, the order was given, said, don't pray to any other God but the king's God. Daniel says, I'm going to pray just like I normally do, three times a day. His windows were open and they were watching to see if he was going to pray and disobey the king's order. He prayed. God was always with him. If you read the entire book of Daniel, Daniel was, lack of my terminology, he was president under three different kings. He just kept being faithful, and he kept being used by different kings because they recognized there was something unusually different about him, and the hand of God was upon him. The hand of God was upon Joseph. I mean, even in prison, he was able to interpret dreams. Because he was able to interpret dreams, Pharaoh made him the number two man in all of Egypt to basically save his homeland, his descendants, his brothers and his father and his mother. They brought them to Egypt so that the Israelites could survive the famine. God has a way of just taking care of things. But even Jesus suffered physically. He was crucified for doing good, for being the Son of God. What I'm trying to get you to see, just because everything doesn't go your way doesn't mean it's wrong or you're being punished. God has a way of just doing things the way it should be. But our future rewards are reserved in heaven by God. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27 says, for the Son of Man is coming to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. One of the marvelous things about God is he keeps records of everything you do. They're written down. He keeps records of every prayer that you pray. They're written down. Actually, they're somehow placed in a vial or vase or whatever, and they give off a sweet-smelling odor to God. In the book of Revelation, that's recorded twice. Your prayers are precious to God. He keeps track of your prayers. Don't be afraid to pray. Christ admonished his disciples, especially those three, Peter, James, and John. He, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told them, "Say, couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" He admonished them to pray. Prayer is your strength. It's your strength. The time you spend in prayer goes a long, long way. God is very good. But when the farmer kept working, the prophets kept witnessing, regardless of the circumstances. We need to keep working and serving God, and we need to keep witnessing. You can find some of the greatest conversations I've had in witnessing happens standing in the grocery line. Now you think about that. Now I've ruined myself with this automatic scan thing that you can go up and do your own groceries, but the thing of it, what that's robbed me of is standing in the grocery line. But the thing of it is that I've had some great conversations standing in the grocery line. It's just They got to stand there and wait for the next person or the next person in front of them. And you have a captive audience because they're not getting out of line. They're staying there. And so you can share some things and be that way. But then the third example that the book of James gives us is that of Job. If you read the book of Job, it's a long book, and if you're like me, sometimes you get bogged down in the conversations of his, quote, three friends and then Job's reply. But you follow very carefully what they say and then what Job says, you'll see the hand of God always in it and in everything that he says. But Job reminds us that we are to admire people who are steadfast in spiritual matters. There's nothing more gratifying, at least from my perspective, of talking to somebody that's been a Christian for decades. And if you get them and get to have some lengthy conversations with them and see how God has intervened in their life, how God has taken care of the saints of God. God has been very good to every Christian. If you look back and see the mercy and the grace that he allowed you to hear the word of God. I can remember first time I ever went to church, I was about three or four. I'm not sure which, but I had two half-sisters, and one of them took me to church. I don't remember anything except that back in the day of watching her take her gloves off finger by finger. That's when you ladies wore gloves back in the day. And they wore hats. But I remember that left a lasting impression upon me when I was only three or four. Then when we moved to Virginia, my grandparents took me to church that was meeting at Alexander Park Baptist Church was meeting in Alexander Park Elementary School. And I remember going there. It was just planting seeds. Then they moved and took me to another church, and they planted some more seeds. And then during my teenage years, a friend of mine took me to church and planted some more seeds. And then in my 20s, my grandmother invited me to a revival, and that's where my wife and I met the Lord. But all those seeds had to be planted along the way for God to give the increase. But we should not forget the steadfastness of the results of trials. I look back through, I gave you sort of my life history there up to my 20s, but there's some things along the way that some things I did was stupid, bottom line. If I had died then, I would have not gone to heaven. But God in his grace has allowed the seeds to be planted and watered to give the increase, and then he's developed my life along the way. Now I've known the Lord coming on, it'd be 50 years pretty soon, and God has just taken care of me. But to reflect about where he's taken me from and the steps along the way and the things that's happened along the way is refreshing, rewarding, understanding that everything hasn't been perfect. Really and truly, there is no victory unless there's a battle. And we have to battle sin and society. There's no mountaintops unless there's a valley. And so we need to go through valleys. Spiritual valleys are not pleasant for a Christian, but they're necessary to help us learn, to make us stronger for what's coming down the road. Without burdens and battles, there would be no victories. And our ultimate victory is when we take our last breath and we go to meet the Lord. I think one of the great things, I'm crazy, okay? I know I'm crazy. But one of the great things of meeting the Lord is being escorted by angels. I don't know where heaven is. I don't know how far away it is. But one day I'm going to fly. I'm looking forward to that day that I'm going to fly. I don't know that I have wings or anything like that, but I'm going to fly. And I don't know how fast I'm going to go. I don't know whether I'm going to go 100 miles an hour, 1,000 miles an hour, or what. Whether I'm going to break the sound barrier, or, I don't know, but I'm going to fly. But our Christian life, we need to persevere to be able to endure the things of life and serving God. And by enduring, we receive blessings. And just let God work in our lives and let God take care of us. Some of our blessings will be here, and most of our blessings are going to be on the other side of life. Heaven's going to be a great place. It's just going to be a tremendous place. Job had a good life. He lost everything but his wife. And his wife even said at one point, "Why don't you just curse God and die? Things got so bad," but he didn't give up. Somehow he knew God had something for him. Somehow you know God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you. He still has more for you to do. I don't know what it is. You may not even know what it is, but he still has more for you to do. Even though Job suffered immensely, he remained faithful. And I think that's an encouragement for all of us, to remain faithful. Good people do suffer bad things, but God has a reason for them, and he will reward you greatly on the other side. Somehow he's going to take care of you. Somehow he's going to provide for you. Somehow he's going to just take care of you. And by faith, we have to trust that he's in control. He is in control, but we have to trust him that he knows what's best. And when I'm going through whatever I'm going through, it's not for me to really question why I'm going through it, but help me to learn why I'm going through it, to learn to do what God would have me to do. John says it this way: "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing." That last part of that verse it's been hard to get in my head. Apart from me you can do nothing. I've tried lots of things for God, but the fruit always comes when it's just him and I. When it's not me by myself, when it's him and I, when I join with him and let him use me, that's when the fruit really comes. And that's our warning, to join ourselves with Christ and let him work in us, to wait and be patient and trust in him. Job put it this way: "But he knows the way that I take, and when he has tried me, when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." The gold comes after the trying. What little bit I know about mining gold, which is nothing, but to get gold, has to go in a furnace, has to be heated to get the impurities out. But that's life, to be able to get the impurities out, because you're going to come, as a Christian, you're going to come forth as gold. You're going to be pure and received of God and used of God and rewarded by God, and God's going to use you in a great and mighty way. So how's your spiritual growth? Are you willing to let God work in you? Are you willing to be available? Are you willing to let him get rid of the impurities, that you can be the Christian that he wants you to be, both now and for all eternity? Because when we're the Christian that he wants us to be, we will help other people spiritually. We will help other people. It may be just a word of encouragement. It may be your prayers. I've prayed for people that I will never meet. But on the other side, we will get together. I prayed for, God has led me to pray for certain missionaries at certain times, at odd times, to be honest. And when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask, what was going on in your life on such and such a year, such and such a day, and at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the afternoon? And they're going to have that memory. Something bad was happening, but God got me through it. And then I'm going to think, that's when God had me to pray for you. That's when God had me to see. God answers prayer. We may not know in this lifetime when that will be, but what would God have you to do? What would God have you to do? How is your spiritual growth? I hope you're growing, still growing. Hope you're still growing. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for your love, your grace. Thank you for the time together. Thank you for the word of God. I pray, Lord, you help each individual here just to continue to grow spiritually and for your glory. May we be dedicated to serve you wherever you open the doors and whenever you give us opportunities. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen.